Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Do it a little faster.
You still got it.
It's your girl, Shanti.
And it's Antoinette.
And we are
Around the Way Curls.
Join us as we share our unique life experiences.
AKA tell all our business.
And explore both the profound and the profane.
Because duality is a thing.
You gonna say it? God damn it. If I gotta say, we after these messages, we'll be right back. You gotta come through and say yizzo. It's a part of the contractual agreement.
Yizzo! Sorry.
Thank you.
I thought you would do it. I want to hear you do it. Can I hear you do it?
No, it's not my shtick, you know? It's not my shtick. And that's okay, right?
Mm. Hello. Huh? It is April 3rd. It
you
is 11.
I'm
drinking. It is 11:12 in the p.m. Shanti opened up a bottle of wine that I bought in preparation for her coming here to my house. And I drank it. We had tacos and we had nachos. Not a vegetable in sight. It was delicious. We also ordered, we call them hoagies. Y'all call them heroes here in New York of the city. For our ride tomorrow, because we finna ride in a car and eat hoagies and put chips in them, and we didn't steal them. We got the viral hoagie / hero, where they take all the meat, all the vegetables. I got Sausalito turkey.
What does that mean, Sausalito? Talk to me about what that flavor profile is, because I don't know what that means.
You don't know what that means? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it to you because I can only tell you what it tastes like.
Because you don't
it's
know what it looks
like. It's spicy.
It's red. It got
do
the
you
red.
Get, do you like putting me down?
Was that a put down by saying you don't know
it
what
it feels
like
in it. It feels like it.
I feel like you got to sit with that because I wasn't putting you down.
Like I said, it's a spicy turkey. Okay. It's salsa coated in a spicy salsa of jalapeno peppers, onions, and sun-dried tomatoes and cilantro. So that's on the Ooh. Outskirts of the Sausalito. So I got that with some pepper jack cheese. We got some lettuce, tomato, onion. We got some hots. We got some sweets. We got some pickles. And we got some mayo. And they take that and they put that on wax paper. And then they take a knife and they go chop, 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 chop. And then I always ask them to dig some of the bread out of the hoagie roll because it's too bready.
Too bready.
So it can really sit in there.
Nest in that motherfucker.
Nest. And then they put it on the bread and we finna eat it and get it all over my car.
Fart in your car. We all gonna be blowing that car up.
I didn't mean like that. I meant because it's messy to eat.
Oh. I will be farting in your car probably then.
God.
Apologies.
Okay. Well.
It'll be all right. But if you don't put chips in your hoagie, you ain't living right. If you getting hoagies and you only put meat and cheese and mayo, grow the fuck up. If you getting hoagies.
Who did it? Who used to do that? Okay.
And you.
Oh, she was saying.
Don't actually know how to order a hoagie? You call it a sandwich or something? Like, I. Y'all just don't know what you're missing. And that's one of the greatest parts of being from Philadelphia is a hoagie. And I told you once, I'll say it again, the best hoagie right now in Philadelphia is in Majors on Ridge Avenue. They only take EBT and cash. So come prepared.
What are your updates, annoying?
That's it. Those are my updates. I feel like we updated them. We about to drive to Canada. We'll share with you guys.
Oh,
we still have to record the goddamn thing for Thursday.
I'm gonna record it because I have to record the this is off the mic
anyway.
I'll got it after this.
Start of April. April showers bring May flowers, and I feel like that is a emotional, spiritual metaphor as well because the tears. Mm. And the showering, hopefully is going to bring the flowering.
Mm. What kind of flowers you want, girl?
What kind of flowers you? I love marigolds. I love marigolds. I love lilac. Some things be smelling delicious. Is that what it's called? Lilacs? Mm. Who knows? What the fuck is a lilac? That is not what it's called. The long lilies.
Why would you? Goodbye. Lilac is a plant, though.
But it ain't the one. It's like small and stubby where a lily's like a grown ass woman. Right?
Oh. What's the flowers that Beyonce be sending everybody? They're pretty. What's Beyonce's favorite flower?
God damn it, we can't even go 5 minutes without mentioning that woman.
She's I don't care because I like that flower.
She's little.
Her favorite orchids. She likes
orchids.
Are those orchids that she's sending people?
No.
She said orchids remind her of her mother. What are the flowers that she's sending everybody? Because I don't know if it's an orchid. Whatever. I'm sick of this because I know what an orchid looked like.
She gets so upset.
Because that's not what it was.
Because that ain't an orchid. And that's what the Google will do. They will lie
guess
to you.
Guess how propaganda. Much Beyonce and Jay-Z spent on flowers for their wedding.
How much?
Guess I had said.
$300,000.
Why are your guesses always fucking ridiculous? And you ruined like the actual reveal. Because I'm right.
What is it? What is it?
Oh, wait. Beyonce has 70,000 of her. I thought that was the cost. Beyonce has 70,000 of her favorite flowers flown in.
70,000? I have no idea.
They were flown all in right. From Thailand.
Good talk. 70,000?
Yeah.
I think that's not real.
Beyonce and Jay-Z's. Yeah, this is from the website cheatsheet.com. Keep going. I'm not well. I had too much to drink. So good luck on this episode. I'll try to back you up as much as I can, girl.
You have any updates or was that it? We gave the people what they wanted, some nice little banter, boom, boom, back and forth, giggle, giggle, womp, womp, You heard it here first.
I throw it sad, to me.
Trying to recover, drunk, trying to recover. Okay, doing the best we can with what we got. Always and always. Welcome to Around the Way Curls. If you're a new listener or if you've been listening for a while and you are enjoying the content, please rate, subscribe, comment, and share this podcast within your community. Let the people know that you rock with us and why the best possible recommendation is word of mouth right now. Also, if you'd like to see this podcast, if you'd like to see us, our interactions, us emoting, facial expressions, backgrounds, clothing, all of that, you see our guests too, all of it. Consider joining our Patreon. And it's a tiered video subscription. membership where you have access to exclusive videos, as well as Around the Way Curls community virtual meetups or real meetups. We always just dropping shit in there. You never know. So hit us up at www.patreon.com/aroundthewaycurls. You can find the link in the description and within all of our social media links. There's no excuse, okay?
All right.
All right.
I would like y'all to know that Beyonce just dropped a bencountry.com. I don't know what that means, but she's telling people to sign up, and I'm pretty sure she's about to drop a tour, and I have no money.
You going to this tour?
Yes. We going.
We going.
You got me.
We gotta find out what those twins' names are, because when it's ever, it's just like it ain't you and me. It's we, nigga.
We are. We gonna wear the same outfit. Your little head gonna poke out. My little head gonna poke out. Our feet, our legs gonna be in one baggy ass Levi jean leg. Okay, one belt, wide ass belt. Four titties though. We gonna have to do something about that.
Four tricky titties. Tricky sizing there. Tricky. It's gonna be a dead giveaway. So y'all
not really conjoined.
Is it y'all conjoined? Not really conjoined, Celeste.
Is that a word? Is conjoined how you say it? Because I keep saying it and I keep saying it low, so I don't.
You don't ask me. Because what was I saying last week? Ode, homage. God damn it, homage.
conjoined. Yep, that's
get
true.
Get it right, girl. Now say it with your chest. Say it loud.
Watch
now.
Me fucking word. You know who I am.
Yeah.
Being, coming, or brought together so as to meet, touch, overlap, or unite, conjoined. That's basically what we are, though.
A little bit. So look at us.
All right.
In this video, can they see what they can't see how we are right now?
Voicemails. All right, y'all. It's time for voicemails. Yay! Let me tell y'all something. We want end voicemails if y'all keep calling up with this bullshit. All right? I'm just drunk enough to let you know. Stop fucking playing with me. Okay?
Can you let me skip it? We got to change the voicemails to me. I need to. There has to be a way. Can you forward it to me? There has to be a way. Because you know I'm going to be like, hi, you know what? Call.
I'm about to.
ain't nobody call us.
I'm about to blast you because I've given you the password to these voicemails numerous times and you have never logged in.
I have, and I will. If that's what it means to happen, I will. If you're like, I'm actually not doing voicemails, I'd be like, cool.
No, I'm telling these people, if y'all can't call and leave a fucking voicemail that's not disrespectful or not on no bullshit, then you will not have access to the voicemails anymore. Stop being mean. First voicemail. I'm serious, yo. This should be hurting my fucking feelings. I ain't got time. I be in here stressed, about to cry. Hold up.
Hi, this is Tay from Detroit, and I just wanted to talk about black men with power. I feel like black men know that they are the target, so they use the sympathy and the empathy from especially black women in their community and other communities to hide their demons. And people are so quick to want to coddle black men and be like, no, they would never do it. It's because of the system. It's because this and that. And although some of those things may be true, but a lot of them are just evil, and they know that at the end of the day, they're going to have people rally behind them because they are black men. And I feel like as the black community, we need to step back and stop trying to coddle these black men and hold them accountable for the hurt and the pain that they cause within our community. And I feel like black men get off the hook a lot of times, more than black women, because black women have this strong woman, or they're viewed as being strong and that they can handle it. And black men are so, I don't even know how to describe it, but they are so arrogant because they know that everybody views them as them always having a target on their back, The same with, what's that man that's with Megan Good? I forgot his name, Jonathan Majors. He's so arrogant because he knows that somewhere, somehow, some black woman or the black community is going to rally against him because a white person is trying to take them down. But we miss the fact that he beat women. He beat women's ass. But we so worried about the whole race, slavery. We forget that these men are crazy and they're causing so much destruction within the black community. And once we wake up to this, and I feel like once we hold them accountable, we will make it so much further in the black community. But because we keep coddling and protecting these black men, we're going to continue to create these demons. So that was all. I just want to put a bug, and I'm glad Shaki and Kev on stage even said, so what? What is that? This black person is being terrible. Why are we protecting them? Hold them accountable. I don't care who you are, what race you are. If you do something nasty like that, you should be held accountable. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye, Shaki.
She talking about Puffy? In particular?
She talking about black men.
Yes. Motherfucking black men.
I feel like it's all nuanced. Yes, absolutely. There are some situations where that is absolutely the case. I kind of think Jonathan Majors is a good example of that. Although he is floundering. He is just floundering in this moment. But you see with like, what's his name? Bill Cosby is an example where there's still all of these, you know, folks that just can't possibly see the harm that this person is capable of and kind of to this day. want him to be innocent and, you know, defend him. So I guess that's true, but it also feels, I don't know if that feels, if to me, that is the overarching way that black men are handled collectively, even in our community. I don't know if I agree. I feel like there's a little bit of a nuance there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of nuance. I think people, I know a lot of great black men. I know a lot of great black women. I know some fucked up black men. I know some fucked up black women. And I know fucked up people who change narratives and rely on communities to come to their aid when they don't possibly deserve it because they dead ass wrong. So I feel like it is nuanced, and I hope that, sis, you have another experience soon where you don't feel that way about black men as in general, because maybe that's not what you meant by the way that it was stated, but I shy away from speaking about folks in absolute like that, because there's always a cause. And there's always an effect after the cause. Did I say that in a way that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. But I guess, anyway, that's a deep philosophical question. She said, some people are just evil. Some people are just evil.
I still struggle with that. I don't know how I feel about that either.
But some people...
I don't know an evil baby. I don't.
Yeah. I don't know.
I really believe that it's conditioning.
Nurture really versus nature.
But it could be me hoping that because I can't bring myself to believe it. Thank you for calling, though. Next voicemail.
Hi, Antoinette and Shanti. My name is Whitney. I am a new listener. I actually started listening a few months ago. Shout out to Mandy at City Thing Is for putting me on every time to the internet as a guest. But anywho, I wanted to talk about last week's episode where you guys met with a lady who talked about eating and eating disorders as recently as the new weight loss medication that's on the market. So I have 4.5 years of experience working in the bariatric medicine center. So I work primarily with people who wanted to lose weight, whether that was the lifestyle change as well as the bariatric surgery. And since the onset of the medication that's on the market, there definitely has been a lot of push to get people on this medication. And a lot of that is coming from the pharmaceutical companies as well as the as some of the doctors who are like pushing this. And I feel like advertising this as a quick fix, and it's not a quick fix. Like, you have to still, first of all, the medication is not made for weight loss. It's made for diabetics, which I have type 2 diabetes, and I use the Mounjaro for my blood sugar, and I just found out that there is a shortage on the Mounjaro, and after I take my last dose, I'm not sure when I will be able to take it again. But anywho, I want to tell people who are listening to this, this is someone who has the experience in this field, that weight loss medicine, that the weight loss drug that everyone is using is not the cure. It's a tool, meaning you still have to work out, you still have to watch your eating habits, you still have to maintain a healthy lifestyle. The healthy lifestyle is the end be all. The weight loss medication, not even weight loss surgery, is going to fix everything if you don't fix it within yourself. So I just wanted to get on and say, like, I love you guys. Internet, you are amazing. Shanti, you are amazing. I look forward to listening to the podcast every week. I'm struggling with weight loss as well. And I have type 2 diabetes, so it works out for me in my favor. But just definitely try to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Like, that's going to give you the best success more than any weight loss medication can. All right. Bye.
Thank you, Whitney.
I just, it's been so interesting to me how, yes, these drugs have been around for for a long time. But now, like, the media and propaganda, I don't know if it's propaganda, but they're just getting all of this attention, and that just can't be for no reason. You know what I mean? Even Oprah doing her special just felt like one long commercial. I was just like, this feels so weird. So it's curious how it has been pushed and more people are learning about it and be encouraged to take it. It definitely feels like a benefit to the pharmaceutical industry, those that are making the drugs. But yeah, good luck on your journey. And I think it's just because of this, it feels like such a disservice to the people that really, really need it and the true intentions of the drug. Now you can't get it because, you know, people are getting it for for other purposes and not necessarily like diabetes, which can be a life-threatening disease if it's not managed properly. So, yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
I think you just said all the things.
All of the things. You know, one thing I'm going to do is say all the things, say the words.
Or nothing.
Or nothing. Say all those words and ain't nothing's been said, child.
Thank you, Whitney. Thank you for calling and sharing that, especially since you have experience in the field. And I hope that you are able to get the medication you need when you need it. Let's take a break.
Sure. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Boop. As someone that has textured and curly hair, I'm so excited to share Clairol's Textures and Tones came out with a permanent color range specifically for curly, coily hair types. Say hello to the improved formula and new look while preserving your curls and your shine. So listen, y'all, check it. Clairol's Textures and Tones is quick and easy to use. It comes in 12 upgraded texture-loving shades. It gives you brilliant color and moisture with zero ammonia, and it makes you feel proud to be able to transform yourself and your hair, saving you time and money, because we all know time is money, child. And did I mention the new formula is pumped with argan and olive oil? They really outdid themselves, y'all. Because Clairol's mission is simple: to keep every woman feeling beautiful and confident, and to help her live colorfully through accessible, easy-to-use products. Remember, it's not the hair color you were born with, but the hair color you were meant to be. Clairol, it's so me. All right, everyone, listen up, because this is an important message. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated refugee children from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries, and then kept the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunited. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called El Otro Lado. This organization works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S., Tijuana, through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunified, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get back on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'll see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting El Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity. That's gum.fm/charity, and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer. elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Before we get into the episode topic, I just wanted to gently remind folks to please vote for Can't Afford Therapy for the Best Indie Podcast Webby Award. This is very important to me, Antoinette Lee, trying to make it for my community. Bart. And thank you. This episode comes out on the 11th. You have 1 week. 1 week to vote. Don't wait. Don't wait. Vote. Vote. The link is in the description. I thank you in advance, as Hey Fran Hey would say. Amen.
All right, Dan Dad now. So I've been slowly trying to figure out how to use and navigate TikTok. And it's a whole new world of influencers and people out there. And TikTok, I still don't quite understand it, but they just be throwing shit up on your feed. And I stumbled upon this person. And his TikTok handle is @datingcoachanwar. And he is just that. He is a dating coach specifically for Black and colored women. Women of color. Colored women. We don't say that no more. I apologize. Are we in South Africa? That ain't nice. I apologize. And he has some really... I reached out to him and he's going to come on the podcast. I just have to pick a date to have him on. But he has, I feel, really refreshing, rich, and scientifically backed theories, or so it seems, theories around dating, the do's and don'ts of dating. So there's lots of videos where he's like, whatever you were doing before, that's the video that I'm going to play that hooked me in. And I'll share it for you, but it kind of took me down this rabbit hole that I'm still dating. Antoinette's off the market, but...
Oh, relax. Don't talk about my dating life.
Girl, you just said in the last video, my partner...
I have multiple partners. No, that's my partner I'm playing. Shout out to you. You know who you are.
But I think that this is good for me, as I am 38 years old and still...
No, you're not.
I am.
You're not.
I'm 38 years old. 38
you
years old.
You don't know how old you are. I'm 40 years old,
and I have yet to actually think about the strategy of dating and how to go about it. But let me just start off with this video that kind of brought me in to his wild world.
Girl, whatever you've been taught about dating, I want you to do the complete opposite of it. Why do I say this? Because most of the advice, the programming conditioning that you're taught in Disney movies or rom-coms are wrong and keep you disempowered. So I wanted to share with you what I've learned as a dating coach for 13 or 14 years now. And as your fairy godbrother, what I have learned that helped my clients go from, you know, upset and frustrated and single to booed up, happy, and ready to rock and roll because they've learned how to do it differently for a different result. You got to do the opposite. So what does this mean? It means that, girl, if you have butterflies, that is a bad sign. That's a stress response. And you shouldn't be feeling that with a guy. And if you do, he's not it. And if he were it, you would be with the guy that is giving you butterflies, but you probably aren't. Number two, if you are having sex with guys because you think that they're gonna like you more when you do that, please understand that they're actually gonna like you less because chemically their bonding hormone, their vasopressin is going to decrease, which is gonna make them want to disconnect with you.
So
why are you cut it off?
He gets long. He got mad shit to tell us. That's why I'm really excited for him to come on. But it's when he started talking about the vasopressin. I was like, vasopressin? What the fuck kind of bonding? What, man? What are you talking about? I just want to say, numero uno, that this conversation that we're about to have is very heteronormative. We're talking about men and women, very gendered in that way. When Anwar comes on, I definitely want to understand his rationale and get tips for him around queer dating. And I don't know if it changes depending on male-female dynamics, but right now we're just focusing on male biology and female biology. And maybe it's the same for same-sex, you know, you gotta make that nigga wait too, even if you know it's a same-sex relationship. But the whole make the man wait, if you have a sex with a man early, it actually decreases his bonding chemical, and the whole butterflies as a bad sign really just had me be like, oh,
I love that.
Okay. And so what I'm inviting us to do is perhaps begin to understand our bodies and the biology of love or falling in love. And there's a quote here. When we think of love, we think of the heart, but love really happens in the brain. As you go through stages of love, certain neural activity occurs. Love is very much a process, but interestingly, the process differs slightly between men and women. How men fall in love is not the same as how women do. And so I took this article from calmary.com, and it just takes us down the processes of falling in love for both men and women. And so we're starting with the first path, the first step to falling in love, and that's just straight lust, okay? This is just the evolutionary drive that makes you see something that you like and be like, oh, I want to copulate with that person. I want to make a baby with them. This is for potential copulate, potential mating partners. It's not love. It's driven by testosterone in men and estrogen in women. It's also very gratification oriented, and it's very temporary. She's shot.
I looked up copulate. I'm finna reuse that. Man, I'm trying to copulate.
You try to copulate. So that's just lust. And a lot of us, and we'll talk about this a little bit further, a lot of us get stuck in the lust and attraction world, okay? So lust is numero uno. Oh, he looks good. Oh, I like him because he got a strong jaw. Oh, I like him because he's tall. I like a milk dud. I like a light-skinned nigga, whatever. Like a fat ass, big breasts, whatever. The second is attraction. So now you've seen the person that you're interested in, and now you are beginning to relate with them. And so often this is where the butterflies begin to happen. The obsession happens. This could be the honeymoon phase. You're just thinking about the person 24/7. And this is caused by the three chemicals, norepinephrine, dopamine, and serotonin. And all of these are our pleasure. These light up our pleasure centers in our minds. Think addiction. They say that this stage is comparable to addiction because it activates the brain's reward center and has powerful effects on our behavior and our emotions. So we thinking about this person, when we see them, we're like, I want to see them again. I need to see them again. You are still very much in the attraction space. We're not quite yet. Love happens here, but you're not quite at the attachment stage. So step three is the attachment stage. This is when, let me just say, this attraction can last 6 months to 2 years. So you can be on a high, you can have the honeymoon period for a minute. But then when that dopamine and all of those reward centers start to calm down a little bit, that's when the whole, you know, all the people that have been married for a long time saying, okay, that's when love is a choice. That's when you got to decide, I'm going to show up for this person, because you're not biologically feeling as obsessed with the person. So this is about 4 years of being in a relationship. The dopamine level decreases. The attraction goes down. And if everything goes well, those hormones, these giddy hormones, the attraction hormones, are replaced by the big dogs, the ones that actually bond people, which is oxytocin for women and vasopressin for men. And this drives couples to bond, to nurture each other. And these two things have to be nurtured. They have to be created in the relationship. They can't, the dopamine, the lust stuff, all that happened a lot without our, you know, active willing it to happen. Whereas the oxytocin, the vasopressin are often, they require some action to actually happen for them to come. It's possible. They say that folks can jump from number one to number three. And this is in the case of arranged marriages, where it's like, all right, we're in this. We're deciding that we are going to, it's not been deepened by this, by the attraction and the reward center. That's not happening. It's just like, oh, we're in it. And now we're just coupled up and we're going to be bonded. Biologically, men, their bonding chemical, as mentioned in that video, is the vasopressin and dopamine. And these increase when they're dating a woman and they're enjoying it. And vasopressin is also, a lot of times they tested the male animals in the wild. It has a lot to do with the hunt. Right? It has a lot to do with, I like this person, I'm trying to impress them, I'm going after them. So when a woman or a female cuts that chase off, they're saying it's a possibility, and of course not all of this is, you know, guaranteed, that the vasopressin drops when they have sex with the woman, and then they become more interested in mating with other women and less loyal to the one person. Women, on the other hand, their bonding chemical is oxytocin. And this is released when both of these are released through sex. But for women, it's highly increased when they have an orgasm. So for men, you could, you know, have gone out, had a nice time. The man's excited in the beginning to have this chase with you, has sex with you. Once they have sex with you, biochemically, their bonding chemical is going down, while the woman, after she's had an orgasm, her oxytocin level is going up, and she's like, I'm in love with this nigga. This is it. I feel so bonded. I feel so connected to this person, where his is slowly starting to diminish. And the coach says that ways to keep the man interested, not only is the vasopressin, it not only is with the hunt, but also he said, don't be your man's piece. You have to like agitate him a little bit, because the vasopressin, the increase of vasopressin has to do with competition, so like sports, problem solving, and decision making. So if you're inviting your man, and I'm not talking about like giving him hell or cursing him out or any of those things, but inviting him to feel a little bit like, oh, he has to figure something out, or there's a little bit of a threat in a way, also keeps the vasopressin increased.
Games.
So I just thought this was all just very interesting to me. I've always known about oxytocin because my mom talks about it all the time, and that's what she says. You have sex with these guys and you're chemically bonded together. I knew about it also for when you're breastfeeding your child as well, as also released, but I didn't know about the men's ways in which they bond, and they do also release oxytocin, but at a lower level than women. And they also talked about how the higher the vasopressin released in men, the more masculine that they tend to be, the more dominant that they tend to be as well. Mind you, a lot of these tests have been on male animals that they're testing these things with. So, you know, it gets a little bit tricky. It's not all across the board. But I think that it's something interesting. And when I'm thinking about myself dating, I joke about it all the time. But I always say, yeah, you know, I go on a date with a nigga, then I'm in love with him, and then we're together for like 5 years. And I think a lot of that is because I'm not consciously understanding. I won't say that. I think for a lot of those relationships, I wanted those things. But I think now, as an adult, I think I would date and handle attachment. I was adult when all that happened. Now, after failed relationships, I am going to approach relationships using some of this biology as a lead, because if I want to really bond with somebody, if I'm like, yo, I want to lock in with this person, I think that there are certain behaviors that I would do that I wouldn't do versus somebody that I just want to like have a good time with, right? Mm-hmm. I remember listening to Shannon Boudram's podcast, and she was talking about when she was first dating her husband and they were just friends with benefits, they would not cuddle after they had sex. Because when you cuddle, it's a bonding chemical. It makes you sprung off the person and invites you to be bonded to them. Versus being like, oh, I'm just attracted to you. I just wanted to have sex with you. You know, boom, bang. That's all I want. That's all we came to do. And I just wonder if we have a little bit more information about the biology behind it, will we make different decisions? I said a whole lot. You can respond to all of this because I just talked for 3 minutes straight about science. And you drunk. I don't even know if you understood anything. You say, what you got to understand about the Oxycontin, okay? First of all, is that the market rate value of it?
I don't know what to say. I mean, yes. I don't know. I resist it. I resist this so much because I don't.
Why?
There's certain things that I don't resist. I'm not going to say I resist it. The steps to love, fine. All right, lust. I've been talking about them butterflies. I think I said that on the Are You Ready for the Good Guy thing. I was like, them butterflies is really stress. They're not butterflies. They pigeons. They crows. It's tricky in there. Run. But there is something to be said about a good excitement. So I don't know. I don't know about none of this. Lust, attraction, attachment. Sure. Sure. I understand. I understand.
Have you ever confused lust and attraction with love? Have you felt like, oh, I'm sure, obsessed with this?
Bitch, what? You said that shit could last 2 years. Absolutely, then. Yes. Absolutely. But I think there's been components of, I think that the tricky thing with me is most of the partners that I've had, there was a component that was, it was not lusty. It was so intimate. And there are men that I, for a long time, we never did anything but cuddle, but lay in a bed or lay somewhere and hold each other and talk and caress and shower together and not have sex. Like, not have sex. Like, but just,
that's very good for their, that's good. Do you see? Tricky. Do you know why that's good, though?
Why?
Because you are increasing their bonding. The way that they bond, you know what I mean. You're inviting all of those bonding hormones to come in, which will maybe it didn't know. See, that's where it gets real tricky.
Exactly. Like.
That's why I'm so I really want this person to come on because well, it ruined seems like
his show.
No, he has so
now you didn't talked about it.
No, he has so much content that you can just go. There's so many things that he
but
can talk
some
about.
Some of that feels like games, and that's where I resist. That's where I'm like, I'm not about to play this game of, you know, oh, I can't be your piece. Oh, I got to keep you guessing a little bit because if I keep you guessing, I'm going to keep you bonded to me. It's like, do we have to do that? That feels exhausting. Like, can't you just be bonded and fucking chill or nah? I don't know. I resist it. I know that I do. I don't feel like this. I don't feel like even with those people, I don't. The men that I'm talking about, it wasn't a decision that was like, I'm not going to have sex with them because I have to make sure that they feel for me and they're bonded to me. Like, it wasn't that. It was more so like, we're not going to do that because that's going to complicate shit. But we need care and we're going to provide it for one another. And that to me is bonding because if you just with somebody who cares about you, you feel safe there. So to me, if you feel safe with me, then why would I play a game with you and manipulate? It feels manipulative a little bit. Now, I do think there's something to be said about not having sex right away. Okay, fine. Heard you. But I don't know. I'd be very curious to hear the rest of what he has to say. What do you think?
I think that there's a lot of women that thinks sex and the performance of sex is going to bond them to a man, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm about to put this on him, and this is going to make him like,
you put it on me for this night, this shit,
and
was
it
fire.
Doesn't and it, I don't know that any relationship with a partner doesn't have your ulterior motives or some form of manipulation involved, even if it's good, even if it's like, you know, well intended.
Okay.
I don't know that you ever, that's not the especially if you want to be chosen by the person, especially if the end game is, I want to be in love with this person. I want to feel love with this person. I want this person to be committed to me and bonded to me. I think there are some ways in which, and I think you're not being honest to think that there aren't a pathway and there aren't incentives and there aren't actions, physical or not, that you're like opening yourself up to that person and trying to get that person up to open up to you in a way, which is, you know, I think.
Yeah, but that feels different to me. I think that you're conflating things. That feels different than being like thinking about their, what is it?
Bonding chemicals. They're bonding.
Thinking about their bonding chemicals specifically and trying to control that. It's like, that's the aspect that feels weird to me.
I think it's necessary. I think it's helpful, at least even from my situation, to be like, like I said about Shannon, it's like, listen, I'm not trying to get in something serious with this person. And if I'm going to be having sex with them, and I know that like I don't have the capacity or the desire to like be attached to them. I'm just trying to have a good time. Then I think it makes sense to be
but
like,
that's not how you are. So what are you even talking about?
But you could be. I've just been doing the same thing. But if there is like, yo, I just want to have fun with somebody. I just want to experience what it is to not have to have in my mind like, oh, I'm going to end up being with this person for 5 years after this engagement with them, and being more strategic to be like, no, like after I'm opening myself up to this person sexually, I'm opening myself up to this person, you know, to get to know them, to create safe space, to have boundaries and whatever. But I'm not trying to fall in love with this nigga. I'm not trying to become attached to him in a way that is going to emotionally affect me, or I get all, you know, entangled with this person when I know it's not something that is going to, the situation doesn't make, our circumstances don't allow for it to actually blossom into a love that can be realized in the way that I want. I think, and I think it's wise to be like, yeah, I'll kick it with you, but no, I'm not going to cuddle with you. I'm not cuddling because I'm not increasing this with you. It's scientific.
I get what you're saying.
I don't know if I'm capable of it, but I think it's something that it's like good to know. It is possible. I'm done.
I get what you're saying. I think that's just not what I want ever. Even if I know, and I'm probably playing with fire. Even when I know that there can't be something that we can't necessarily maximize the relationship or bring it to the full potential that I would like, for the moments that I can have the thing, I want the cut. I want the intimacy. I want the cuddle.
You want the
more
bonding.
Than I want. I want the bonding.
You
want
to feel bonded, even though you.
I
want to
feel bonded, even if because I'm work. My thing. Like I've had situations where it's short lived. It's a week affair, but it's an affair to remember. And when we see each other, it's like, ah,
right.
Hi. You know, and it's like for that moment, I was cared for, and I'm still respected and cared for, even though we can't act on it. There is something that we share that is real, that's rooted in real care, and not this other, I'm not treated like a body. I never want to be that. Like, I don't know many men that I have engaged with physically or been intimate with in any capacity that's just like, oh yeah, that's another body. Yeah, we were just having fun. Like, no, oh no, that's a, even if it's like we weren't together, like that's somebody who cared about me. That's a good woman. That's somebody solid who I feel connected to and feel cared for by. And I feel like without the bonding and without the cuddling and with so many boundaries of like, I can't be connected to you in a certain kind of way. I can't risk that because there's no potential for it to be this thing that I've decided I want. Then I limit it to just this, the physical, the lust part. But the other thing can exist. Like, I think the other things can exist even if they're short lived. They're still, to me, they're still very real. But that's me. I know that's not for everybody.
Yeah. I guess people can have a choice. They can have a choice because there's some people that maybe they're finding that they're not being cuddled with, that they're just being having sex, and there's not this intimacy. There's not this, you know, they're having sex early in the relationship and then they're not getting the bonding that they want. I think that there is biology, there's science behind to help make sense of people's realities. And I think that that's dope that you can couple them together and you can use it to make decisions. I think the more information that we have, the better decisions we can make, especially around sex, especially around finding partners, especially trying to understand our partners as well, finding ways that they feel more bonded versus ways that, you know, you may feel more bonded. But I think for some people that are just like, yo, I don't, for men as well, I think that's, I think so many men will cuddle with a woman, will have sex with a woman, and they know that, no, I'm not trying to really like kick it. I don't want to be bonded to this person, but yeah, I'll cuddle with her. And then she's deepening in her attachment and they're not interested in it. I think if they knew that maybe, and if they are responsible, maybe they'll be a little bit more, have more discretion or be more upfront about it. And yeah, I guess it does cut off the like woo woo of it all. And it's just very dry, but I think it helps.
It feels very transactional too. It's like, how good is the sex?
It feels honest.
These other things.
It depends on what people want. It depends on what people are looking for. If it's like, yo, I'm just.
Well, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about you because I know you.
I don't know. It just gives me information. For me, it gives me information about it. I find, and in all of my relationships, similar to you, it goes straight to like this deeply bonding way of being with someone that I don't even have all the information about them to make that wise decision with, right? Like if I give myself a little bit more time to be like, oh, who are you? How are you showing up? Do our lives compatible before I'm like chemically, emotionally bonded to this person? I think I would move a little bit more coolly, actually, to be completely honest, and not, or be more clear if I do want to have sex, less ashamed about it. Like, this is no, I want to do this way because I'm not trying to get caught up in all of that. I want to see what the experience is like with something that's a little, is intentional, is still caring, but not like, I'm not trying to get bonded to you like that. I can't do it.
There's something interesting about me where if we're going to, even if I know that it's just we're just going to be, we're just going to be this thing. Like I've spoken about the gentleman that no longer, but whenever we would meet, whenever we would be in the same city, whatever, it was just like we would come together, right? And link up and operate in a certain kind of way. There was still care there. Like, and bonding, not just care, but like washing together, cooking for each other, cleaning for each other, laughing, cuddling, like all the, like yeah. For me, there's something about me where I'm like, if we're gonna do the thing, if we're going to be intimate, then we are going to be all in. And then the next day, if it's when you have to leave, I'm cherishing the fact that that happened and it's beautiful and I can honor that and keep it pushing. And I recognize, and I'm only speaking for me, that that's not probably something that a lot of people want. And some people are like, girl, that's you playing with fire. But
if that were to happen twice, I would say if that were to happen three times, I would say twice in a month, the attachment that would happen by one of you inevitably would change that dynamic. It happens every so often, like, boom, cool, that's mm-hmm. fine. But
I see what
you're if saying. That were to happen because twice, it's less consistent, you're going to be, somebody's going to get attached. Yeah. And it's like, do I want this attachment? Or is this real? Is this like the person that I want to be bonded to? And that's what I think has happened with me is like, oh, I get all these feelings and then I'm like wrapped up in this person and I love them. Or maybe it's when it comes to the love part, when all that shit wears away, when the heat of it all, when the you know, excitement of it all wears away. It's like, oh, is this the nigga that I'm ready to show up for? Is Shanti the person that I want to show up for when it's less, there's less ease, when it's time to make the choice, when it's time to like activate those, that nurturing and that bonding mm-hmm. chemicals when, you know, it's less easy. And I think I need to do a better job of discretion, because I'll be like, falling in love is easy. It feels great. It's good. And then when it's like, oh, wait a minute, actually, who knows?
Falling in love is easy.
Staying in love is hard, child.
Staying in love, being loving, choosing the person, that's over and over.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's like,
when it all wears off.
Oh, no, I hate it.
Anyway, I'm going to invite him on. Very interesting theories, very interesting advice that he offers, but I feel like it's pretty sound. Thank you for listening to my half-baked TED Talk. And
very good job, Sheila. I
hope that you guys get that vasopressin, oxytocin, testosterone, and estrogen popping. Mm-hmm.
Great episode.
You think so?
Yeah.
Good. Well, Antoinette.
It's 12:10. I still have to finish my work, record two things, pack. So tricky is it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's work this out. Let's be loving and work this out, because did you say no? That's why. Oh, God. Bye-bye, okay, everyone.
Sheila. You have just heard an Around the Way Curls John. Follow them on Twitter at ATWCurls and Instagram at Around the Way Curls. We out early.
Very good.